want you to imagine for just a moment that you are standing in this alleyway. Snow is coming down. It's got that soft cloud cover. And it's got that heavy snow that seems to dampen the sound, but it's really cold too. And I know you only have a few more weeks before you have to stop imagining, but we're still on the imagination train right now. Imagine you're sitting out there and you've been trudging through the snow. Your feet are cold, your hands you can't even feel anymore. You've got icicles in your nose hairs. It's that cold. And then you see up ahead this house, your home. The lights are blazing. You're so close to that comfort. You know what's on the other side of that front door, don't you? You know what you're going to see when you come in the living room. Isn't that inviting right there? That warm fireplace. That nice warm fire that just welcomes you in from the cold snow. You can put your snow boots off to the side. You can start warming up your hands by the fire. And the whole walk seemed to be worth it. This right here is an inviting picture. And there's a lot of pictures you can look up online that are like it. There's something just so inviting about this picture. Maybe the picture in your imagination was slightly different, but imagine that roaring fire with the snow coming down outside. You can barely get yourself out the door to shovel the walk so you won't get sued by your neighbors if they slip on the sidewalk because you just want to stay inside. You just want to warm up by that fire. There's something cozy about that, something inviting to stay in this comfortable area. You want to snuggle in with a blanket and a hot drink. Maybe it's a warm cider, maybe tea's your thing, or maybe coffee, or I know almost all of us can relate to this. What's the drink you really want in that moment? Hot chocolate, right? Hot chocolate and marshmallows. There's something really inviting about that. But what is so inviting about those pictures? Because it paints a need in your life, doesn't it? You have that need because your hands are cold. You know what it's like to have those cold toes, to come in from outside and it's blustery and it's windy. Here in Estes Park, the winds can feel like hurricane winds sometimes. You're not sure if your house is going to survive the storm. But you go inside and it's nice and it's warm. And that's what's inviting about it. Something is going to meet that need. The invitation says, come in. I can take care of you. I can comfort you. Well, there's a different kind of need in each one of our lives today. Each one of us struggle with different things, but there's probably some similarities. If we were all to list out the needs in our lives, there would be some common themes that we could kind of put that underneath. Do you have a need for money? You're not sure how you're going to pay the bills this month. Maybe you don't feel that now, but you felt that in the past. Maybe you have a need of broken or difficult relationships. People just aren't treating you the right way, or you're not sure how to make this relationship work. Perhaps you have the need of health. That's very heavy on our minds with this pandemic we've been dealing with for the last several months and over a year now. Maybe you're struggling with cancer or you're struggling with some sort of chronic sickness. And so you have this ever-present concern for your health on your mind. Or if you're like pretty much every other American, since I believe it was in 1870, the first productivity book that we have in American English was published. You have a need of a lack of time. If God only gave us 26 hours in a day, I'd be fine. I'd be able to get it all fit in. But when you have these needs, you feel burdened. And you wonder, who can I turn to with these struggles? Who's going to solve my money problems? Who's going to solve my relationship problems? Or maybe, like many people, especially in Jesus' day, the burdens that you bear are religious in nature. Maybe you weren't sure you wanted to come here today because you've got some bad experiences in your religious past. Maybe you don't know what the expectations are for people in this religion or that church. Maybe you're not sure how you're going to make it through the month financially, or if your marriage is going to survive. These are all burdens that you might be wrestling with. And if you haven't wrestled with them before, or you're not wrestling with them now, you certainly will experience heavy burdens like what I've described in the future. We all do. This life is full of burdens. And so we need to ask the question, who can help us? It's like standing in the cold and your toes are nearly frostbitten. Who's going to let me in to stand in front of the fireplace? Who's got an invitation to help meet my needs? And I think today that we're going to see that Jesus has an invitation for each one of us that meets these needs. If you have your Bibles with you, I'll encourage you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 11. We're going to spend our time at the end of Matthew chapter 11. I'm going to put the verses on the screen behind me here in just a moment. But I encourage you, if you have a Bible with you on your phone or with you in book form or in the pew in front of you, turn with me to Matthew 11 because you'll be able to look back as we refer to some of these verses. But Jesus is describing people who have a need, and he thinks he can meet that need. Follow along with me in chapter 11. We're going to read verses 28 through 30. Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is the invitation that Jesus gives. But you notice who he's not giving the invitation to. Jesus isn't sending out invites to everybody that's got their life figured out. He's not sending an invitation to people that are religious enough or have all the right answers. The people that have their life put together. I want to tell you something. I'm kind of a productivity nerd. That means I am one of those weird people that listens to productivity podcasts about how I can get more things done in the day. And by the time I get my day started, it's already over because I've listened to many productivity podcasts. But it's one of those things that there is this perfection that you think you're going to be able to hit someday. You just find that right system. You find that right program. You find that right method. And you will have perfection in productivity. Now, I'm sure that's similar in a lot of areas. I can say, as a preacher, I just have to be able to figure that thing out. Once I know Greek, I'll have it figured out. Once I know Hebrew, I'll have it figured out. Once I get an advertisement out to enough people, I'll have it figured out. When I worked for the Army full-time, it was always, you know, if I just spend a couple extra hours in the office, I'll have it figured out. A lot of times we think that we have to have it figured out before we come to the church. Before we try religion on, we have to be right. We have to be spiritual. We have to have our lives put together. But Jesus says something quite different. He says, "Come to me, those who are burdened." And you notice what he says here in verse 28. He says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden." Those are the people that he wants, the people that are struggling. And that's the invitation he sent out. He says, "Come to me if you're struggling." And what is he offering? His offer is rest. Now, why would he say rest? It's because he knows there's people struggling with burdens. So let's think about this. The original audience would be first century Jewish people. Very religious group of people. Very religious nationality. You might know that. But they intertwined their religion in almost every aspect of their life. But they were burdened by a lot of religious things they were supposed to do. Oh, I came from the market. I need to dip my hands in this kind of water this many times. And then I need to make sure I eat this kind of thing. And on the Sabbath, which is a Saturday, I can't walk this many steps. Otherwise, I'll be in trouble. Lots of things that they had to observe. Some things that God said, this is what I want you to do to be different from the pagans. But a lot of things that their religious leaders had said, well, that's a good idea, but let's add this too. And then let's add this. And soon they were carrying these heavy burdens of religious persecution. Or I'm sorry, religious overwhelm of so many things to do. On top of that, they have civil persecution. They're under the thumb of the Roman Empire. They're waiting for something to be different, for something to change. And Jesus says, I'm the change you're waiting for. Come to me if you've got these heavy burdens. So those are the heavy burdens they're dealing with. What are the heavy burdens you and I are dealing with? Well, is your mind burdened when I say the word COVID? Is your mind burdened when you think about the bills this month? Or your family relationships? Is your mind burdened when you think about, I'm not good enough for God? I'm not as religious as this person or that person. Well, if your mind is burdened, if you realize you can't make life work for yourself, as much as you try, you're not going to just make it work, then this is the invitation for you, because this is the rest that Jesus is giving. It's that calm, that peace, that comfort is what Jesus is offering. It's in contrast to the heavy burdens. A little later on, we're going to see that he says it's rest for the inner person, for the soul, is what he said. So the invitation are for the people that are struggling. The promise is for rest. But this offer that he's giving, this big offer of taking away the heavy burdens of life, comes with an expectation, doesn't it? And we say, well, what's the catch? Where's the fine print on this, right? There's no such thing as free chicken, we sometimes say. And Jesus is going to say, to some extent, and with some qualifiers here, but he says, that's true. There is an expectation here, but it's not fine print. It's not hidden. Right? Jesus says, I have an expectation for people. But that's not much different than a lot of other things that we have in our lives. Now, I want you to imagine for a moment that a multimillionaire uncle that you didn't know you had just passed away. And his estate left you $3 million. And so, for you to have that $3 million, you have to go to the estate lawyer. You have to pick up a check. You have to take it to the bank, and you have to cash it. Are you going to look at that and go, I'm not going to do that. That's way too much burden today for that $3 million. You know, he's just asking too much of me in my life. That's just not fair. Of course you won't say that, right? That's nothing in comparison to what value you gain. And so Jesus says in verse 29, here's his catch. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Now, we have to ask, like, what is a yoke? Right? Like, I've asked a lot of people, like, well, what is a yoke? And a lot of times they're thinking, this right here, it's the yellow part of an egg, right? That's a yoke. Well, that's true. That's Y-O-L-K. But what is a yoke? And the reason we don't really use the term yoke is because this is a tool for farmers, pretty much. It's a tool where they would put a beam on two animals to tie them together, and they would be able to pull harder. We call that an engine and a transmission, is what we call it today. But they called it a yoke. And so you have two oxen that are working together as opposed to trying to go in two different directions. That's what a yoke is. And so Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. So he's offering a different yoke than what the world offers. Now, what is the world's yoke? I think by implication, it's all those things that cause the heaviness and the burden. That's the yoke. Are you yoked to your money, your job, your relationships, your time? Or are you yoked to Jesus? That's the question we're going to have to ask ourselves. So Jesus says, I've got a different yoke, and my yoke is better than the other one. See, the world's got all these burdens that give you no solutions. I've got something different for you. And while we think, okay, what is it that Jesus wants? What does this yoke imply? I want to bring our minds back to this illustration of that check. Remember, it's like a $3 million check. There's a couple things that you'll be doing to get that check, to get the value of $3 million. But it's worth it, isn't it? If I had to fly across the country, that's what, $300, $400 plane ticket? drive back home for 24 hours in a car, go to the bank, wait 15 minutes, wait 4 or 5 days for the check to clear. Now I am a millionaire. Is that worth it? Well, financially, yes. Yes, it's worth it, right? So what is it that Jesus says? Here's what I expect to cash this check, the rest that I'm offering, right? He says, come to me, learn from me, and work with me. You see, a yoke isn't just something you put on the ox to leave them in the pen and get no value from them. The yoke is something you put on the ox and you say, we are ready to get to work. We're going to do some things. So Jesus says, first come to me. Recognize that I'm something different than what you've got already. But then you need to learn from me. You remember how earlier in our time together I said, we value studying God's word so much because that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to learn from Jesus. And then we're trying to put into practice the work that he has for us. And for us, that's work here in Estes Park. For you, that might be work in Missouri. It might be work in Texas. It might be work in Oklahoma. It might be work in wherever you call home. But you have work that Jesus says, I'm ready to put you to work. And so there's a choice in this. It's a choice of picking two different types of hiking paths. I want you to think for just a minute. If I gave you a choice, today, instead of a coaster ride, we're going to go for a hike together. Some of you say, yeah, that's awesome. Others are like, oh, I really want to go on a coaster ride. Well, let's just bear with me for a minute. We're going on a hike, but we have two trails to go. This is the first trail. Kind of like Lily Lake, right? Very, very easy trail. This is the other trail. Some of you are like, I'll take two. And I'll be like, well, you'll be alone because I'm going on one. Right? There's a better option in this situation. And that's what Jesus is saying. There's a better option than what you've been struggling against. If you're weary and heavy laden, then there's a better option. I am the better option. How is it that Jesus is a better option? Well, he says, first of all, it's his character. He says, for I am gentle and humble in heart. Is the world gentle upon you? If you think it is, just spend a little bit of time on Facebook or Instagram or any other social media where you get to interact with strangers. Are they gentle to you? Are they humble in heart when they interact with you? Probably not. Jesus says, I'm gentle. I'm humble. You can't find someone more humble than Jesus, the creator of the universe, who said, I'll come and live the experience of humanity so I can save them. That's humble. Well, what's more, it's not just his character, it's also the reward he offers. He says, you will find rest for your souls. Now, you might see in some translations it capitalizes that. That means that's a reference to an Old Testament scripture that these listeners probably would have been familiar with. And in Jeremiah, this is where Jesus is pointing back to. In Jeremiah, God says, if you choose my paths, you will find rest for your souls. If you don't, then you will fall under the persecutors, fall under the subjection of the enemies. So Jesus is connecting this idea of either you are being bombarded or you are being blessed. So that's the same choice for you and me. Are you going to be bombarded by the world, by the troubles of the world, by the heavy burdens that don't seem to fix themselves? Or are you going to be blessed by Jesus? Now I look around me and I think most everybody in this room has enough experience to realize that the world is not going to fix all your problems. Take, for example, something you've desperately wanted for so, so very long. And when you get it, are you happy? Yes, you're very happy. For a while. Right? So I'm kind of a little bit of a Toyota nerd, right? And so I've been following very closely the release of the 2022 Toyota Tundra. I've been so excited about that. It was released last Sunday. Finally, we now know what it looks like, what it's going to be. I was so excited about that. And I showed it to Rachel on Monday. I said, look at this. Isn't it cool? She's like, oh, it's ugly. What a letdown. And then I guessed at the price. They haven't released the prices. I guessed at the prices. I'm like, nope, not getting a new Tundra. right? The world just lets us down no matter what. And let's say I did. I bought that new Tundra. Guess what? 2024 is going to come around with a new model. It's going to be even better. I'm going to look at 2022 and be like, wow, they don't have the right color. They don't have the right features. Or what about my house? I could have told you 15 years ago, that's probably too long ago, 10 or 12 years ago, I would have said, if I could just live in Estes Park, I don't care if I live in this teeny tiny cabin, I would love living in Estes Park. Guess who lives in a teeny tiny cabin in Estes Park? Guess who wants a bigger cabin in Estes Park, right? So the world's never going to fulfill our wants and our needs. It might make us feel happy for a while, but then we're going to be burdened down by that house payment or by that career that really is full of people that don't treat each other well, or by that relationship that's let us down, or by the religion that's full of hypocrites. Something's going to let us down. And so Jesus says, I'm the better option. If you come to me and you seek Jesus, he's the one that can give you the rest for your souls. That's the better option that Jesus promises. And he tells us, why is this such a better option? He gives an explanation for us here in verse 30. He says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus is different than what you've been pursuing in the world. Now, all of us, even people who have been Christians for decades and decades, struggle at times with forgetting that we're pursuing Jesus and not the world. Sometimes we get caught up in the world and we get burdened down by that, don't we? We start to struggle with those pursuits that are no longer towards Jesus. And so Jesus is inviting us, even as Christians for decades, to come and seek him again. Don't keep seeking the world's things. But maybe you've never had this yoke, and you're saying, how can this be better? How can it solve my money problems, my relationship problems, my struggles with the world? Gabe, you haven't answered that question. Well, technically, Jesus doesn't answer the question exactly here. But I want to show you how Jesus does answer this question. How is it that taking his yoke actually gives us an easier or a lighter burden? I think it's two main things that we learn. First of all, it's easy because we have a new focus in life. We're not going to be wrapped up in these burdens. I want to turn your attention to Matthew chapter 6. And we don't have to spend a lot of time here, but in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus finishes this section on our worries and our concerns. And he's really talking about our physical concerns, like what are we going to eat? What are we going to, how are we going to be covered up by the weather? Or from the weather, excuse me. And in verse 33, he says, seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things you're worried about, all that food or what I'm going to wear or what I'm going to be covered with, all those things will be taken care of. They'll be added to you, is what he says. In verse 34, the conclusion is, so do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So how can your daily struggles be better? Because you have a new focus in those daily struggles. Becoming a Christian doesn't take away your financial woes, but you're no longer focused on the financial woes. That's not the burden you're working towards. You're working towards serving Jesus. And that focus, just that shift, helps. And I'm going to show you how shifting your mindset helps a lot. Let's just say for a minute, I want you to think about this. You woke up this morning and your right knee is hurting so, so bad. You could barely walk. Now, for most of us, that's going to ruin our day, isn't it? You're struggling to get around. You might be limping and holding around, and you're not sure if you're even going to be able to make it to church on time because your right knee hurts. You're not sure why it hurts. That's frustrating, isn't it? That would ruin your day. Unless, let's just say, yesterday you were a paraplegic in a wheelchair with no feeling below your chest. Then you woke up today and you have a lot of pain and you can move your right knee. Suddenly, your day is amazing. You haven't felt that leg for years. You see how just the same thing can be a different perspective. So Jesus says, when you take my yoke upon you, you're changing your perspective. My yoke is what you're focused on, not what you have been worrying about in the world. And what is more is he promises us a future that is worth all the struggle. That easy, light burden, he says. Paul writes it this way in Romans chapter 8, verse 18. He says, "For I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us." What he's saying is, do we suffer today? Are we struggling a little bit in this world? Yes, but it's not even worth comparing to what we see in the future for us as God's children. That's like you're sitting on that airplane ride next to the guy that's not sharing the armrest on your way to go get that $3 million check. And he is taking the armrest, your TV isn't working, and it's a 6-hour flight. You are frustrated in any other circumstance other than you know that what's on the other end of this flight is $3 million. You don't mind the guy's taking the armrest because you're flying first class on the way back, right? You don't mind that maybe your TV's not working because you've got something greater waiting for you. This is how Jesus can say, "Come to me if you're weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And so all of us has this choice before us. Are we going to accept the invitation of Jesus? Now you might think, "Oh, Gabe, I've made that decision before." Okay. But I'll tell you, this is a daily decision that you have to make. Are you going to take Jesus' yoke upon you today or the world's yoke upon you? Are you going to work for Jesus today or work for the things of the world? This is a lifestyle, an intellectual decision, even when you don't feel like it. And Jesus says, if you're weary and heavy laden, if your life is a mess, if you have problems, I can help with that. This is the invitation that we as a congregation take so seriously. Do we have it all figured out all the time? No. You've heard me talk about some of the things that I already struggle with, getting caught up in things of the world, things that aren't as important as Jesus. We all go through that. But as a family, we can encourage one another. That's why we come to church on Sundays. The Bible says, don't neglect coming together, because when you come together, you're encouraging one another to love and good deeds. And so, as a family, we're coming together on Wednesdays, on Sundays, to remind one another that that heavy and burdensome world is not what we should be focused on. It's not what we should be working toward. We take care of our responsibilities, but we're focused on what Jesus has in mind. And if you made that decision in the past, recommit that decision again today and again tomorrow morning. But if you haven't made that decision, consider our invitation as a congregation and saying, maybe I want to learn more about that decision. Maybe I do want to know what it means to come to Jesus and accept his invitation. If there's any way that we can help you in that decision, this congregation wants to offer itself to do that. You can come talk with me. You can talk with Bob up here. He's very excited to talk with people and very good at dealing with problems in people's lives. He's actually a counselor and can kind of help with some of those concerns. It's one of the blessings we have in this congregation. I can help study God's word and help you understand more about what does it mean to walk in Jesus. So there's something that we can do to help you. I want you to come and talk with us. We're approachable. We're just normal folks that are trying to love Jesus. I want to invite you guys to come back next week and to worship with us again, to learn a little bit more about what that means.